Okay, so you should have gotten problem understanding reports back. I only got one bounced back. If you didn't get one back, check with your teammates. Only got one official bounce, so check it out. There were some common problems throughout, so let's talk about a few of those. If you have specific questions about your report, you can come by open lab hours. We can discuss during that time, or drop by my office to discuss. Some general problems were not reviewing all the things in that pre-submission checklist. There's some of you using first person, some of you using parenthetical reference to cite your figures, referring to yourself by team number, team name. It's just like doing first person, team one decided or something like that. Remember, when you're discussing the design tools, you want to report them as fact, right? It's not you believe the customer requirements are this or that. They just are that. It's not we believe that the specifications are this. They are that, right? Report the design tools like they're data, because at that snapshot in time, they are data as far as you're concerned, all right? So that was one common mistake that cropped up across all the ones I looked at, and the ones I scanned that Ms. Hodge graded had similar problems, where it was really narrative. We did a house of quality, and then we did a spec sheet, and then we did a function tree, and they really helped us to figure out the design. That's not what this report should be. It's like, here's the understanding of the problem. Here are the customer requirements, here are the spec, here are the key functions. All right? That's what you're communicating. That's what this report was communicating to, should have been communicating to the reader. That understanding of the problem. Okay. The part that could deviate from that a little bit was in the project planning. So there was a little bit of that possibly there, but that's more appropriate in that section. Even that, though, you can get away with a lot of it. Like, it's not our most important milestones are this or project deadlines or that. Those are the deadlines for the project, whether it's the team or not. Right? So some of that stuff can be reported just as fact or data as well. Okay. Other common mistakes across the design tools, lack of clarity in customer requirements. Like, some of you even had like easy to use or easy to build. That's one example we've talked about in class multiple times. There's multiple things that, what does he mean for easy to build for this particular problem, or easy to use, or safe? Right, so there's still houses of quality out there that had those things in them. And I know we've discussed that, got kind of information on multiple days in here. Okay. That needs clarity. The number one comment always on engineering characteristics is measured how. So if you talk battery life, is it maximum battery life? Is it battery life under nominal load? You know, if it's something like that, right? Is it power consumed? Is it speed? You have speed. Okay, well, speed of what to where? Average speed, max speed? What are you really talking about there? Okay, that level of clarity in your thinking is necessary to get to a good design. Okay? Because those things lead directly into specs. Specs that pretty much everyone that I looked at was missing. How far does your device have to travel to get the horseshoe? Anybody know that? Okay, whatever it is, that's a spec. If you're saying that it's a customer requirement we get horseshoes, the device better be able to travel that far to get horseshoes and back. How far is it to the center? How far is it need to travel to the center? If you don't know that, well, that's a spec for your design. It better be able to travel that far at some height to either get the roses or deposit jockeys. Right? That's a spec. Right? If you're saying depositing the jockeys or collecting those roses is a customer requirement, a spec to kind of get to that, right, is I better be able to get there. Well, how fast do you want to get there? That's up to you to decide, but I know I need to travel this far in this many seconds. Okay, there's my speed. Based on actual measurements, you're not guessing, right? Right. How far do I need to get the carrots? How far do I need to move the carrots? What's the spread of the carrots, possibly? Now, those are all specs you guys should have. Now, I think you implicitly have all of those because you built designs to do it. Right? You want those specs, however, to be explicit. That's what a lot of this process is about, right? Making those implicit decisions, the thousands and thousands of little implicit decisions you have to make in a design process, making as many of them as explicit as possible so that design process can be more objective and more easily communicated to someone else, whether on your team or outside of your team. Okay, so I think that's what we would like to see moving on, both in the reports that are due on Monday, some revision of those. You know way more about the project now and customer requirements and things now than when you wrote your problem understanding report. Right? So your tool should kind of reflect that, right? You're updating your understanding all the time. We talk about this process being iterative. That's what we mean. Right? You know way more now than you knew a couple weeks ago when you wrote that report. You're going to know way more in the final report than you know this weekend when you're working on the concept evaluation. Okay? So I think that clarity of thought is important. Right? And that's what these designs are trying to push you guys into. Clarity of thought and explicitly expressing all those little decisions you have to make. Okay. Questions about that? Yes, sir. We are looking, so what we grade is always against what is a good report. So there's not a sliding scale with time that we're expecting more of you because you've gone further along necessarily, because we're grading against a fixed metric, what's a good report, right? So in that sense, no, but in some sense, you should be better, right? I think if you're not grading yourself that way, you know, that's okay, I guess, but you should, you know. I would hope you feel like you're getting better at this as we go. That said, we might be a little tougher going on, particularly in final reports, on the stuff that's in the written checklist. Right? That's the mistakes I have a lot of trouble understanding that you guys make, because it's right there on the checklist to go down that thing before you submit it. Right? Those are explicit requirements right there in front of you. So I think that just takes caring a little bit about what you turn in more than anything. Other questions? Okay. Like I said, if you have specific questions about your report, come see us. We'll talk. We're more than happy to talk to you and talk through things. If there are parts of those design tools you're not understanding, come see us. All right. Other questions about what we have coming up? So you have concept evaluation report presentation due on Monday at 5, right? Get those to me on time. Everybody was on time the first one. That's a good job. Keep that up. Then we have a qualifying contest a week from today, right? What happens in the qualifying contest? What points are at play? What rules are in effect? All of them, right? It's just like the final contest. Everyone will run at least twice, and then we'll see how the ranking shakes out from there. A good number of you probably will run a third time to determine kind of the middle rankings. Usually what's happened historically is you have several teams that win twice, so they're kind of automatically up at the top. Several teams that might lose twice, they're down at the bottom, and then we have to sort out the middle to get the rankings is what's happened historically. So be ready to run at least twice on Tuesday. What's that? Again, all points are at play. Winning, for you guys going forward, qualifying and finals, first and second place are winners, third and fourth are losers in terms of our double elimination bracket at the final contest. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Are all four teams going at the same time?
Yes, sir, just like the final contest. Full contest on Thursday, a week from today. Question? That was it? Yep. Yeah, full deal. Yep.
The comments, they're still due Friday.
Still due on Friday. Yeah, I mean, I think that's 15 minutes of work for you guys, right, to get those done. Other questions? Okay, look for also for email from us sometime soon-ish on what you might like to see for open hours over spring break. We won't run the full gamut the whole week because, you know, nobody historically has shown up if we open the full week, but we want to see some hours. We want to offer some hours to you since the final contest is that Thursday afterwards, and we want to offer hours where you would actually show up. So we're not sitting there by ourselves. Yes, sir?
Is the presentation grade,
That's rolled into the grade that's on your report, yep. Yes, sir?
How do we know what we need to change with the presentation?
So for the presentations, if you have questions about those leading up, right, because it's a big chunk of your final grade effectively is that presentation, best thing to do is come sit down with us and walk through it. We look for the same stuff. I mean, it's are the tools clearly, you know, are you talking first person the whole time? It's largely the set should be the same order of stuff, the same type of things we're looking at in both. So they tend not to deviate too much, generally. The questions. Okay, so today we're going to spend just a few minutes. I want to show you guys a little bit of kind of this Python on embedded microcontrollers, which is what we're doing here. It has really expanded over the last year or so, actually. So there's a whole ecosystem of boards that are able to run MicroPython beyond the Pi board. Right? So a lot of the code we've written can run on those microcontrollers with very, very minimal changes. So for example, one that was just announced last week or week before, the Pi board folks, the MicroPython people, have these brand new boards that just came out. Seem pretty cool. Actually, a little bit. So a couple years newer processor, so way faster. Has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth built on board as well, which could be pretty useful. Different form factor. So to really use this, you would probably need to buy this guy too. So this is the highest end one. It's a little bit more expensive than the boards you guys have. But I think a pretty nice board. Going the other direction are these two boards, ESP8266 and ESP32. They're by this company called ExpressIF. Both of those guys also have Wi-Fi. And then the ESP32 has Bluetooth and actually has a faster processor and kind of this dual processor architecture. So one processor handles the low-level Wi-Fi and Bluetooth stuff. So it's pretty nicely done. And there's both of these chips are used on a huge number of boards and officially supported by MicroPython. Right. So these ESP8266 boards, these can be really cheap. You can find these guys. This is less than $10. And quite often you can find it for like $4. You can find kind of bare one of these boards without the USB connector and stuff like that for less than $2. And we'll run MicroPython and it's a bit slower, not quite as nice, not as many inputs and outputs as your Pi board. But if you were doing kind of really simple I/O, you just need to control a single relay, for example, or something like that, would be a good choice. And in fact, actually this ESP8266 chip is actually what's embedded in a lot of smart light bulbs and smart switches for your homes. So you can find a whole community that knows which of those switches have this chip on board and know how to hack it apart and change it and do whatever you want with it instead. So these guys, this is $10. Those two guys at the top are like 15 or something like that. So not too expensive. Links to those four are there. And then you can find many, many, many others. If you go to like AliExpress or eBay, you'll find a bunch of these guys. ESP32 is a bit nicer. It's a faster processor. So the SparkFun folks have their own version. The Adafruit folks also have their own version with the ESP32 chip on it as well. There's a company called PyCom. They have a whole family of these guys that are based around this ESP32 chip. They have this guy has Wi-Fi Bluetooth. They have one that has a cellular modem. They have one that has a LoRa modem, which is a long-range communication protocol, kind of slow in terms of bandwidth, but really long-range is how it's designed. They have ones with Sigfox, which is a different protocol. So they have a pretty nice suite of products as well, if you're looking for. They have kind of a breakout board with GPS and things like that built in automatically, which is pretty nice. And then there's kind of just another option, this Wemos company. I think this one's like $15 or something. Pretty nice boards. We use it in my lab quite a bit, actually. So links to those guys. And again, there's many, many more of these. If you look AliExpress or eBay for ESP32, away you go. You can, if you're willing to wait 2 weeks, you can get it super cheap from AliExpress. There's also this kind of company has built a product around that ESP32 called M5 Stack, they call it. And basically, they have these kind of stacking modules. You can buy all kinds of different ones, right? So the kind of basic stack comes with this little LCD on the top and some buttons. You got a speaker, connectors for different things, the flash card, so battery socket for powering over battery. So it's meant to be these kind of Internet of Things-enabled devices. Again, they have other ones that kind of plug into the back of this to add. I think they have GPS and some other communication protocols. So I mentioned all of these guys and what we're about to mention. The skills you have are transferable to all this. You know, you get the senior design, depending on what your project is. You have your Pi board. I think I've told you guys a bunch of senior design teams using their Pi board this semester. But also those skills transfer if you needed wireless communication and things like that. These boards are not too expensive, certainly within the context of a senior design project. Finally, Adafruit has their kind of own, it's called a fork, their own fork of MicroPython, they call it CircuitPython. They really started writing it for their own custom boards. So they have a whole family of boards and kind of form factor called the Feather. This seems to be kind of taking shape. They have an entire range of those boards from kind of really, really cheap ones to high-end, high-performance ones that are available. And what they call feather hats, I think they call it. Feather wings, sorry, that stack on top to add extra functionality. So the low-level stuff, how to actually interface with the sensors and things like that, is a little bit different than MicroPython because they've tailored it to exactly their product. But the Python parts are basically the same. So I think you would have no trouble getting up to speed. And they have a ton of tutorials for using their version, their CircuitPython stuff. So yeah, just wanted to kind of show you guys that, and I'll have it up, you know, these will be posted later. If you have questions and you get to senior design or, you know, your own hobby or something, you want to work on this stuff, feel free to knock on my door after you're out of here. Questions about any of that? All right.